Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I nail that every week. It's like the same thing every single time. Maybe a bit different with the guests because there's a bit of, you know, a bit of nerves there, a bit of a, you know, that kind of anticipating energy. But yeah. What am I saying? I don't know. It's Friday night, and it's been a while since we've done. We're back.
I mean, I haven't even really seen you this week. I mean, you've been quiet, you've been busy, I've been a bit busy. I've missed you. I've missed you, bro.
Yeah. I Wow. No, yeah, I've noticed that I haven't been as chatty. I'm very busy, as well most people are. I'm getting lockdown fatigue as well. It's real. So
Hi, man.
I mean, I've had a good week. I'm writing a book. It's exciting.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. I'm writing a musical.
Oh, the Treevilles thing. Sorry, yeah, of course. I thought you meant a new one. That's what I was like.
No. And I've just ordered, so it's going to be available on Amazon, and we're trying to get it into bookstores and stuff. And I've just ordered my first proof of it, so I'm going to be able to hold the. The animation. How about you? You're now officially on the payroll of the NHS.
The NHS. Woohoo. Hopefully I shall be starting work for the Chelsea and Westminster Hospital very shortly. I know where I'm going now. I know all that jazz. They've got all my info. I just gotta start when I start.
I'm going back to London.
That's exciting. Yeah, but apart from that, I mean I've been busy-ish.
I saw Ram. Shout out to Ram, Royal Academy of Music. Ram,
sponsor. That's Ram.
Want to give us some money? Hello, anyone? Anyone want to give us some money? Anyone at all? I saw that they shared your Lily's Eyes.
Yeah, I mean that's not how it goes, but yeah.
What is it? Hazel Eyes. Something like that.
Those hazel eyes.
Yeah,
it's so cheesy. But yes, they did. It's very kind of.
What's that from again?
Keeping busy. It is from The Secret Garden.
Yes, that's it.
But yes, they did share it. It's very kind of them. Just trying to keep busy, you know. Just keeping the performing side busy.
Well, I thought that was really good that they did that.
Yeah, I know. And if any of the listeners want to see it, it's on my Instagram, at Getty Stringer. Give it a watch.
Yeah, so the letter this week is
J.
I can only mean one thing. Again. I can only mean one thing. I mean, it doesn't. It means loads. Literally so many. In fact, there's quite a few good ones.
There are quite a few good ones for G. Gypsy. Guys and Dolls.
Guys and Dolls.
Ghost.
And of course, Greece. Yes.
Oh, I see.
What? That's what we're doing, isn't it?
It was just such an anticlimactic build-up. And of course, after all of that, and of course, Greece.
which is our show. This week's show, Greece.
There it is, man. Greece.
Greece Lightning! Oh, I can't do it. My voice is broken. Greece Lightning. It's like that, isn't it? Greece Lightning. Yeah, you gotta flip it. Yeah. Can I ask a question before we go any further? What is Greece? What is Greece? Is it the hair?
Yeah.
It is the stuff in the hair, right?
Well, yeah, but also it's like, you know, you had greasers as well. Greases are a thing.
Oh, so they are greases.
Well, yeah. So a greaser is it's hard to explain. Basically, greasers, it's like a subculture of the 50s and 60s where It embraced a lot of people, different types of things, and it was all about rock and roll music and the doo-wop type thing. And they get into some violent things. They'd fight a bit, and they have drag races, not the RuPaul kind.
What are your gut reactions to Grease?
I mean, I love Grease. I'm such a big fan of Grease. I am great show. I've seen it twice. I've seen the film many, many, many times. It's just fantastic. It's problematic. Like, there are bits of it that are problematic, especially for today's day and age. But overall, yeah, I mean, it is a great show, and it's a great night out. That's the other thing. Going to see Grease at the theatre is a genuine, really good, fun night out.
Well, speaking of nights out, yeah. I mean, I listened to Grease, and I listened to it today.
Good.
Oh, it's a good start, isn't it? And, you know, these songs come on, all I think about, I got a bit emotional, actually, because all I could picture was me, end of the night, in a club, in the cheesy room, and they whack on that Grease medley.
Grease Megamix.
Yeah, Grease Megamix, and everyone's just, you grab whoever's there, and you're just singing along, no one really cares about if you're singing in tune, and you've got your mates with you, and then there's like another group, and then you're like, okay, you can join us as well, and then the lights come up, and you all look bloody terrible, but it doesn't matter, because you've just had an incredible time singing this song. Then you go home and get a kebab. That's, you know, that is what it's like, though, isn't it? The amount of times I've been in a club and it's the last song they play, especially uni.
Well, that's the thing. I think Grease is a genuine part of culture. I think it's a thing. Summer nights, we all know it. You know, we go together. Everyone does that. You know, we go together. Like, whatever it is. I've totally made it up. So did they.
Those summer
and also,
nights.
Well, I mean, Summer Nights, what's that boy? One Direction ripped it off for that song.
That's what makes you... No. Baby, you like... Yeah, you don't know you're beautiful. Yeah, it is that. Yeah.
Thank you. You know...
Needed to make sure.
Also, You're the One That I Want, you know? It's a banging song. You know, it's part of culture. And... it was massive in the 70s, and that's the thing. It was the second biggest album of the year, the soundtrack was. Everyone had it. And it was only second to Saturday Night Fever. Also starring John Travolta. I mean, the man was like an absolute legend. In those, you know, the years apart, 77 was Saturday Night Fever, and 78 was Grease. And on the point of the film, I don't think there has been ever a film of a musical that has had such an effect on... the stage version of that musical. I can't think of one off the top of my head, and I've been thinking about it since we said we were doing Grease, and I just can't think of one.
Well, should we hear a little bit about the plot, and then we can talk about that? Because the plot changes quite a bit, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It does.
So, Gabe. Short turn this week. I did last week. We did Funny Girl last week.
And you got a very good. Joel loved it, didn't he?
He did like it. I was quite happy because I wrote it down. I feel like writing it down is sort of cheating. I feel like I felt kind of wrong doing it, but it does give a clearer.
Getty instantly puts down his notebook.
No. I mean, but it did make it clearer. And actually, even just reading it off was almost impossible to get it in the 45. So. You know, yeah, the whole point of this is to give the listeners some context. So let's not skimp out on the details.
And to be fair, I've got a bit of an easy one this week. It being Grease, I think most of the listeners will have an idea.
Yeah.
That's why I said most of the listeners will have an idea.
Yeah. Okay. I'm really looking forward to this part.
I bet you are.
Yeah.
Because you're going to finally know what the plot of Grease is.
Okay, so you've got 45 seconds to give us a summary of the plot of Grease.
Mm-hmm.
3, 2, 1.
Danny and Sandy have met. Fast forward, they go to school. Sandy has turned up to this. It's a new school. She
never went there before, and Danny is at that same school. Wow. That Rizzo arranges to bump for them to bump into each other later down the line, and then Danny pretends to not know her, and then she gets really sad. So then she goes for a sleepover with all the girls because Frenchie asked her to come. Sandy then faints at the sight of blood from the ear piercing, and then they take the mick. Rizzo then leaves the house to have sex with Kanicki. The T-Birds are then planning a drag race versus Scorpions. No, not the RuPaul kind. Danny then becomes a runner to impress Sandy and try and win her back and show her that he's okay. Then at the school dance, Sandy and Danny go together, but then Cha-Cha comes along and ruins it. Sandy leaves heartbroken again. Danny then messes up one more time, but then Rizzo thinks she's pregnant. But she's not, so it's all okay, because at the drag race the T-Birds win. Then Sandy changes everything about her personality just solely to get back with Danny.
Okay, so that was about a minute.
No, it wasn't. That's
yeah,
it
a was.
Lie.
No, it was. In fact, I think it was a bit over. Sorry to tell you that, but I was fully invested. I quite liked the RuPaul drag race, because as soon as you said drag race, I was like, oh.
He has now just like monopolized those two words together, hasn't he? I mean, yeah. every time I read it, every time I thought it, I was like, RuPaul. And then I remembered I had to watch RuPaul, so that was actually quite a nice reminder.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, the plot's pretty simple. And you're right. I mean, the ending is kind of... the message is a bit...
It's skewed, naff. Isn't it? Well, yeah. It's worse than naff. I mean, she literally, from being this really good girl next door vibe... She goes from that to leather clad, smoking, massive hair, lipstick, you know. What does she say? Oh, forget about it, stud, when she drops the cigarette in the film.
Yeah.
Like, she has just changed her entire personality for the sole purpose of one boy. And that's not great, is it?
Not really.
Not great. But it makes a good musical, so. But then it does also deal with some, like, kind of... On the sly, it really deals with like some genuine things like teenage pregnancy. Rizzo thinks she's pregnant.
This is like, you know, the '70s where things were kind of becoming more liberal, but that was still pretty out there. I mean, pretty they had to show the original book that ran for like 9 months, I think in Chicago, was like really raunchy and quite like illicit and explicit. And
all the assets
complicit yeah, and the basically the producers and they said that even as like future versions have gone on, they've just watered it down further and further.
You're gonna have to pause there. My dad has walked in saying, did somebody say just eat? I said we're talking about Greece.
It's a nice country.
Thank you. That's what I said.
The musical. We're talking about the musical. You like the musical.
I do.
Yeah.
He looks like Danny Zuko.
I'm trying to get you to give me some material here. You're
He's running away.
You're rubbish. Hey, get out.
Bye. Oh my God. So funny. Yeah. So, I mean, the initial run in Chicago, when it first came out, it was like on in a club, I think. One of the Chicago clubs. It ran for like 9 months. But it was very, yeah. Very raunchy and explicit and illicit, and they basically and complicit, and they've watered it down apparently as more and more versions have gone on. So
well, mate, it's
the fact
really,
that they've kept the teenage pregnancy is still, you know, it's quite
well
good,
yeah, but they had to because it's basically one of the best songs, so.
But I wonder what else was in there.
Oh, we should say to the folks at home before we continue on, we've got ourselves a bit of an anything goes situation. Now, it's nowhere near as complicated with all the 17 different versions of that show,
that
which is on
really
at the Barbican from this year.
it
basically, and this is why I said earlier about a film having such an influence on a stage version of a musical, we haven't experienced any other than Grease, because after the film came out, every time it's performed now, it's performed in the same kind of guise as the film. The plot's changed to kind of similar to the film. The songs are changed to fit the film. I mean, they've kept three or four of the songs from the film in the show now that weren't there before. I read the plot, and the plot I read out is I did a summary of, was the new one. Is the one since 1978 that people know.
Yeah.
The one that's on Wikipedia is the one before that. It's the original show.
I mean, it starts in a... what do you call that? A reunion? Like a
reunion,
reunion,
and there's a flashback. The whole thing's a flashback. I was like, I do not know what this show is. I've literally never come across... I was a bit like confused by it. So it's quite interesting, like how... Because, you know, films often do change, even for big, big shows like Les Mis. The Les Mis film is slightly different. Some of the songs are different in a different order, sorry.
Yes, of course.
And
they've
got the new song, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
But that's none of them are in the show. Changed.
No. But West Side Story also changed the order of the film. Of the show to have Officer Krupke is earlier in the film because the director didn't like the fact that the tension dropped before the big bit. So he wanted everything to just keep going. So he changed it.
Fair enough.
But with Grease, they did a musical film of the stage show. And then ever since then, basically everyone has just done what the film is.
Yeah, I guess. I guess it was just so popular.
I mean,
because it would be a bit jarring if you went, because that is after, that's after it closed. They did the film, isn't it? Or was it?
Oh, no. It wasn't actually.
It was just 2 years before. It was 2 years before it closed. That's interesting. Okay, that's so bizarre. Because those people who then went to see the show after seeing the film must have been like, what is going on? What is happening? Imagine it opening on like a school reunion. You'd just be like, what? This isn't Grease.
Yeah.
You'd be checking the playbill. Like, what? Is this the right one?
Yeah, what show is this? Yeah. I mean, the other thing, well, the thing about the film though is you're right. It is because it's so popular. You know, it was the highest grossing live action musical, right?
Is that the one with Aaron Tveit?
Until Les Mis. No. The John Travolta one, the 1978 film.
Oh, you mean
was
the
highest grossing live action film until Les Mis. And until Beauty and the Beast, it was the highest American live action film musical in 2017. That's almost 40 years. It was the highest grossing live musical. And then also, I didn't realize this, but it's based on the real life experiences of the guy who wrote it. I thought it was all just like
based on his, it's all because they're very Chicago centric, the writers, weren't they? And they said that it was based on his school experiences, wasn't it? They essentially said it in his school, but they changed the name.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
I mean, that must have been a pretty wild childhood.
So, I mean, the biggest thing for me is I mean, what's the everyone knows that the group of lads is called the
what? The T-Birds?
Yeah, the T-Birds.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What? Do you know what? Well, they weren't called that originally.
Oh.
Do you know what they called in the original show?
I didn't.
They were called, they were called the Burger Palace Boys.
It's just so not cool, is it?
I also find it interesting that if you listen to the 1993 London version of the show, the album is called the original London cast recording of Grease. But we all know that it didn't open in 1993. That's not the original London cast.
Why have they done that?
Because that, I am assuming, because that is, I mean, everybody knows Grease as it is today. So that was the original London version because that's how they want Grease to be known. So the version before just doesn't exist anymore.
Is there an album of that?
I couldn't find it on Spotify, but then I didn't really look very
well. Well, I'm looking on.
I didn't know it and I didn't want to listen to it.
Because to do that to a show, you know, you spend so much time on structure before you put a show up. So for them to put it up and it be also this, it's not like the original sucked. It's not like it closed after a month. It ran for
eight years
and was the longest running Broadway musical until, you know, Chorus Line came along. So I'm surprised that they made such big changes to it.
I just think you're right when you say it's all down to the popularity of it, to be honest. Like the film was massive. I mean, my mum went and saw it.
Well, the film eclipses the musical, doesn't it? I mean,
oh yeah,
you know, 100%, like just massively.
My mum went and saw it at the Kettering Odeon, she said, and she waited on her birthday. I think it was her birthday, did she say? I can't remember. But she waited for a showing and a half.
Really? She saw it. It's time for this week's quiz. This week's quiz is called Look at Me, I'm Sandra D. Plus.
Oh, God, things are getting desperate on the pun front.
I really did enjoy the pause between D and plus there. It was great comment timing. Thank you.
So, every week, me and Getty, or Getty and I should say, quiz each other on the show. And whoever has the most points at the end of the series will get a free ticket to a show of their choice bought for them by the other person. And now, Getty, I don't actually know what the scores are.
Do you know what? Whilst you were saying that, I just thought to myself, I've got no idea.
I've got no idea.
I remember us having a little bit of a giggle fit when you were like, it's really close. And then it turned out we were neck and neck and it couldn't be any closer.
Yeah. Obviously, oh, yeah, we're tied. Oh, it's 11 all, Getty.
11 all, there we go.
11 all. 11 so, all. Pretty close.
I see what you did there. Very good.
Oh, thank you. It's pretty close. I mean, who wants to go first? Getty, you go first. You ask me first. I'm feeling quizzical. You ask me a question and I'll answer it. that's how it goes, isn't it? God.
So question number one, Tom. Mm-hmm. Who wrote the song Greece is the Word?
Greece is the Word. I'm guessing John Farrar.
Mate, it's a stunning guess. I love that you went there.
Is it wrong?
Yeah, it is wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised because I know it's not in the original and I thought he wrote it for the film.
No, but it was written for the film, but it was written by Barry Gibb. Another Barry Gibb. Wait, do you not know who Barry Gibb is?
No, I do. I didn't see that name anywhere. I didn't see that name anywhere. That is
Very good. Of the Bee Gees.
Yeah, I know. Oh, that makes that.
And then when you think
that
about it,
that makes complete sense.
You can hear it, right?
That
you
makes
can hear
complete
it.
Sense. I just didn't see that name anywhere. So that completely shocked me.
Do you know who sung it? You know who sung it for the film? Also, this isn't a question. You are allowed to just not get this right.
Oh, no, I don't. I don't. Although I have read it, I've forgotten.
Frankie Valli. Frankie Valli sung it for the film.
Really?
Hmm.
I mean, if there was any like evidence needed for how ingrained this is in pop culture, that is it,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Yeah, a 60s style song written by the Bee Gees, performed by Frankie Valli.
Oh man, okay, yeah. So that's zero for me. That's a shame. That's a shame. Okay, I'll go.
Yes, you will.
So Frankie Valli sung that, eh?
Yeah.
How did that do in the charts? Do we know?
The song? Oh, yeah. Great question. Let's have a look. Let's have.
Because I imagine if Frankie Valli's on your song, you're trying to get that to some sort of chart topping number.
As I said earlier, the whole soundtrack for Grease, the film, was the second best selling album of the year, only to Saturday Night Fever. Which also had a lot of songs written by the Bee Gees in it. In fact, all of them.
Well, my worst ever audition was for that. I did an audition.
Wait, what?
For that.
You auditioned for Saturday Night Fever?
I did, and I sang.
But Tom, there's dancing in it.
Oh, Getty, don't I know? Don't I know? Anyway, no, I tried to sing in the Bee Gees style, like falsetto, and it was just.
What song? Which Bee Gees song?
Night Fever, Night Fever.
Oh, the title song.
Yeah, mate. We ain't gonna do it. Oh, mate. But it was like this. I'll give everyone this. Is
no,
like,
no,
no. Listen. Okay. Night Fever, Night Fever. Oh, man, it was so bad. It was really not good. And it was like a 24-hour turnaround. And my voice was just like, what are we doing?
The soundtrack has sold 38 million copies worldwide, making it one of the best-selling albums of all time.
Damn, that's crazy.
There you go. And then I'll tell you what, the song You're the One That I Want,
The only was also one.
Ooh, 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 honey. Yep, it made number one in the US and the UK as well. There you go, blimey.
How did that's Greece, crazy. Greece do, though, is the word.
Oh, yeah, that's how we started the question. It made number one in Canada.
Damn.
And the US.
Oh, it did make number one. I thought.
And it made number three in the UK.
So let's do my question. How are you feeling? Are you feeling
yes.
confident? Are you feeling a little bit like, ooh.
I'm feeling greasy, loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
So what famous singer is the school in Greece named after? What famous singer is the school in Greece named after?
Rydell.
Yeah, but what full name, please?
Bobby Rydell.
Oh, you do know, do you?
Yeah.
Why you acted like you didn't know? Why did you just say Rydell? You got my hopes up.
Sorry.
Well,
I just that, you know,
that is a shame. I'm really upset. I was like, yes. Got him. Got him on the ropes. No, man. Yeah, Bobby Rydell, who was a famous, yeah, 60s rock and roller.
Tom, last week with Joel, it might have even been with Lucas, can't remember now, but one of the weeks with the guests, we said that we neglected the choreography. And I'm attempting to put that right today. So, Tom, who choreographed the 1993 London revival?
I mean, are you joking?
No, she's actually quite famous. We all know who she is.
Oh, I know who this is. I know who it is. I've gotten her name. But I know she's like really famous and I know that she's really good at
that's what I just said. So you cannot. That doesn't count as an answer.
I can tell you the choreographers of the Off-Broadway and the original. I cannot tell you the choreographer of the
Well, that's no one. Good.
But I know.
I can give you a clue. Do you want me to give you a clue?
Yeah, I do want a clue. I do want a clue. Dum, 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 dum. I know. Dum, 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 I'm so dum, bad dum, with dum, names. Dum, I know dum, who dum, it is. Dum,
dum. I'm just going to keep going higher and higher until you get it wrong, all right? Dum, dum,
dum, dum, dum, I don't know. Dum, 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 dum. You're going to say it and I'm going to know it, but I can't.
It's Arlene gone. Phillips.
Yes. Brilliant. I knew it. I literally knew it and I couldn't find it. Names. I might go to the doctor. Because I can't find them.
That sounds like the beginning of a joke. Yeah. Doctor, doctor. I can't remember any names.
Who are you?
That's actually quite funny.
Thank you. That's right. Yeah, it's annoying. Nothing about what you just said surprised me because it was there.
Can you do the hand jive? Can you do the hand jive?
Give me a couple of weeks
for the hand jive.
Yeah, 2 weeks intense rehearsals, 9 to 5. That would be a way to make a living. So John, we've talked a lot about John Travolta, Adele Dazeem and all that. Should John Travolta played Danny Zuko in the film? But who did he play on Broadway?
I was going to ask a similar question to you. I went past it because I was like, oh, he won't ask this. Because the list of people that went in.
So many, as, yeah. So
Patrick
many.
Swayze.
Yeah,
John Travolta,
Richard Gere. That was over here though, but like that was on the original list as well.
I can't remember. It's one of the boys. It's like Doobie, Numi, Nummy, Zuby, Johnny.
Who's your? Doobie, what's your answer?
Luby. No, not that one.
Luby. That was in the illicit and explicit and complicit version over in Chicago.
Oh. I know. I just know he's one. He was one of the Burger Palace boys. Oh, what are their names though? I can't remember.
Let's go with
Doobie.
Correct. Well, actually, it's Doodie.
Wait. I was totally joking.
No. Yeah. Well, it's Doodie. I'll give you it though.
You can give me half a mark if you want. It's close, but no cigar.
Yeah. Should we go half? Yeah, we'll go half.
I can go half. I gave you half for 6 or 7. Don't you remember?
Yeah.
I feel like.
All right. Your go.
Right. My turn. You've already answered it, so well done. Who played Danny in the original London production?
Richard Richard Gere.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
That is cool, hey?
Again, testament to just how sort of big this show is, really. Great, so that's 1 point for me. So it's one you're ahead by half. Here we go, Heartbeat. Question 3. The original production was nominated for 7 Tony Awards, but why? What about its nomination was unique?
I think it's because it was nominated when it was off Broadway, not when it was on Broadway.
Yeah, and do you know why it was nominated?
Because they were like, this is so good that it just must be nominated.
No. Probably, partly, but no. Was it
because they knew that they were having a Broadway transfer anyway, so no. They were like... Was it because their audience numbers were at a certain number so they could?
No. Nope. Well, do you want to know why? How should I tell you?
Yeah, you should. Yeah, go on, tell me. I'm interested.
Because they all had first-class Broadway contracts, the whole cast and creative team. Oh. So although they were in an off-Broadway venue, everyone there was basically on contracts that were good enough for Broadway. So for the Tonys, they were like, well, you meet our sort of standards and criteria. We love the show. Here's some nominations. Here's 7. What's your favorite song and why? Let's talk about our favorite songs and why. My favorite song, we've already talked about it. We talked about it a lot. Grease is the Worm. I love that song. This is the song, you know, I put it on today when I went outside and I was just like, this song is a bop. I was walking along.
A bop.
It was a bop. I was vibing to it.
You're 26. You can't say bop.
It was a bop. It was a bop. I love it.
Did it slap? Did it slap, Tom?
This song slaps. Yeah, Grease is the Word. Absolutely love it.
That you heard.
So what I'll say about this music is that, you know, writing shows and stuff now, and we've talked about it before, but in terms of trying to follow pop and trying to make it sound current, and what I love is that they wrote songs from the 50s. You know, they try to make it sound like 50s rock and roll or 60s rock and roll. But obviously, it came out in the 70s. And it's the same with Hairspray. Basically, good music is good music. Like, I think if you try and imitate what's happening now, you're going to just fall into the trap of just copying, and it's going to lack identity. It's going to lack some soul. And I think what I love about this is that the writers obviously grew up with this music. So they were like, oh, well, we know this music. We love this music. This is what, you know, this is us. Let's write what we know and write a show around that. And it is absolutely awesome. So yeah, I stand by. If you want to write a musical, write what you want to write. Don't start trying to imitate what's happening around you, because you'll just fall into traps of not meeting those expectations.
I'm genuine. I have nothing to say to that.
But really?
Other than, yeah,
do I you mean, agree?
I do. Yeah.
Thanks. What's your favorite song?
We're doing something that we've previously denigrated on this podcast, which is the whole writing songs for the film that aren't in the show business just so that they have Oscars nominations.
Mm.
However, you have picked a song that was in the film but not the show, but mm-hmm. is now in the
mm-hmm.
show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And I too am about to pick a song that was in the film, written for the film, was nominated for an Oscar from the film and put in the show subsequently, and that is Hopelessly Devoted to You. What a, you know, that song slaps, and it slaps hard.
We gotta stop saying that.
It's such a good song, and like, I will never get tired of hearing that song. I just think it's kind of what you were saying, you know, they've written a really good emotional song. It fits the mood, it fits the drama, but they've still managed to keep the 50s 60s sound world. They don't deviate from it. And it's just such a banger, and it's difficult because it was, and you know, we've said before on this, they call those songs they write for the film and they just want an Oscar, blah blah blah, but this in this case absolutely smashed it. Like, they got a show, they added some songs to it, and the songs they added were, and especially in this case, just perfect. And you said it, you hit upon it. When people had seen the film, if they went and saw the stage musical, they would wanted to have seen the film at that point. They would have wanted to have seen what they knew. And if you go and see Grease after the film and you don't hear Hopelessly Devoted to You, you don't hear Grease Is the Word, you don't hear You're the One That I Want.
Damn, yeah. All those songs are huge.
All those songs are massive. Like they're really
big. Well, I guess this is just a case where the film added value to the show.
I don't know. I like a lot of the music of it. I think the music is just I can't fault any of it. I find all of it brilliant. And it always seems to fit, and it always seems to be the right mood, the right time, the right, you know, thing for the context of the show. Yeah, outside of the context of the show, maybe some of the songs are a bit naff, but inside the context of the show, you can't fault it, really.
Now it's time for Whose Line Is It Anyway? Last week you did Funny Girl, and obviously yeah, Joel got it. It was hilarious. What did he say? He was like, well, I was in the scene, so yeah. I just had to delete possibilities. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't me and it wasn't Sheridan, so yeah. It has to be one of those two.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Sandy, you ever wear earrings? I think you keep your face from looking so skinny.
Skinny. Yeah, I know who that is.
Who?
That is... Oh, I've forgotten her name. It isn't... Oh, is it Frenchie or is it Marty? I can't remember which one. Oh, is it the other one? Oh, it might be the Bucktooth one. I can't remember her name. Oh, I'm doing a Tom Ling.
Hey, Sandy.
I can't remember.
You ever wear earrings? I think they keep your face from looking so skinny.
I can't remember. I can't remember her name.
Guess? Have a guess.
Judy. Go with Doody.
It's Jan.
Jan! Jan!
Is that the, as you described, the Bucktooth woman?
Yeah, in the film. Scarba, scarba, you know. Washa, washa, washa.
I thought that was quite a good one because it's quite an iconic scene.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. And I knew who it was instantly.
Yeah, you just couldn't remember the name. I love that line.
Man, that must be annoying for you. I've just experienced what that's like.
Yeah,
that's not
it
fun.
Is literally with Arlene Phillips. I was like, I know this name. I know exactly who she is. I can see her face. I've watched her every weekend and I cannot find her in my head.
Oh, Matthew McConnell.
Hi.
Hi. Personal with your microphones, and I'm just here with my laptop currently resting on four cushions.
That is hilarious. Do you know what I said just before you came on? I said, what's he recording from? Did you send him to get a microphone? Did you send him anything?
No.
No, it's the short.
Long story short, no.
Oh, no, it's fine.
It's all right.
How are you? I haven't seen you in so long.
I know, it's weird, isn't it, dude? This is the new normal, unfortunately. Of, you know,
I like your mustache.
Oh, thank you.
And your hair's looking good.
For later.
Your hair's looking really good. What's happening? My hair looks. I look like I'm
my hair. My flatmate cut it yesterday.
You cut it?
No, my flatmate did. We were sat there watching Below Deck Mediterranean, which is great, awful TV. Oh, how's it going with you too? How's
your... I'm. The thing is, so I spend my days in the basement. So there's literally no natural light. So it's a little bit like, I get a little bit like caveman.
Does that have an effect on you, Tom, perchance? You'd never tell.
Just listen to this episode and you'll see. Because
I'm excited. They have been getting progressively more and more delirious. Which
With the guests, we've sort of reined it in. Like we kind of
a little bit.
Yeah, we reined it in for those 2 weeks. And then this week we have...
Good.
We have
gone back to.
Well, what show is it this week? Why would you know? Now I'm here.
Yeah, you're here.
Yeah, well, you're here, and the show we doing this week is Grease.
Oh, very good.
That's why I was like, we got to get him on for
Very good.
So we should say to the listeners that our dear friend Matthew McConnell was in Greece for how long was it, sir? A year. But then you ended up going back, right?
So the first contract was just under a year total. So that's including rehearsals. It was about 11 and a half months, but I was on board for 9 on Harmony of the Seas, which was at the time the biggest cruise ship in the world, for about 3 weeks before they released their newer, bigger one called Symphony of the Seas.
Yeah, which I...
Yeah, I was on it last March now, so about a year ago again. I was on it for a whole month before the world imploded entirely. And hands down, Royal Caribbean's version of Greece is the best version of Greece out there. It is 1 hour, 27 minutes straight through. Like, you never go more than 3 seconds without a song starting.
That's what I love about them.
Crazy.
They did the same thing with Hairspray, and the story made complete sense, and they got all the songs in. And I was like, and it was so weird because it got to the end, no break, straight through. And I was like, what was
How did that happen?
What was missing? What was missing? It's so...
Like, Greece, literally, there is no scene that is longer than maybe 5 lines before a song will start. And you're going, how have you gotten away with this? And it's so fascinating. And people genuinely don't know. They're like, oh, I swear last time I saw this show, it was like nearly 3 hours. I'm going, yeah.
What was it like being in Greece then, Matt? What was it like?
Yeah, I mean, I had a blast. I was playing... So I played Teen Angel and I played Vince Fontaine, who is Johnny Casino as well, essentially, in the Royal Caribbean version. So my track was just lots of me by myself with a microphone sort of off stage doing silly radio voiceovers, essentially, in like a little booth that the audience could see sort of during transitions and stuff. And then I come on and sing Hand Jive, which is an absolute blast. And was even better because all of the dancers were there making me look exceptionally good, even though I wasn't moving at all, which was wonderful.
That's what we like.
Absolutely love to see.
Yeah.
And then I had...
We do not give dancing manic, a good rep on this show.
Manic quick change immediately after that, because again, I had about maybe 8 lines to get out of a fluorescent blue tuxedo into a completely glitter-covered head-to-toe suit, a pompadour wig that was maybe 3 feet tall, and do all of that while running upstairs to get to a flight rig to be flown down for Beauty School Dropout. So then I did nothing. And then I was just like, hey, you know what? My part is done. So I had like a really manic, maybe 8 minutes in the middle of the show, and then just sort of relaxed and had a bow at the end, and people loved it.
We've obviously called you on for a stage fright.
Indeed.
And I love, the listeners know I absolutely love stage frights. But your one is a personal favorite because I was in this show.
You were in this show.
I think this is the one you're going to share.
Is it a Duddy show?
Yeah. This is the apprenticeship of Duddy Kravitz, no less. So for pretense, Duddy Kravitz was Tom and I's final show at the end of our masters, and not only was it 3 and a bit hours long, which for your sort of showcase show is rough to ask anyone to sit through. Mm. And then the fact that we were on stage the entire time.
The whole 3.
So essentially we set it in a library. So we were people, because it's a really famous novel. So we were people as like part of a book club who were experiencing this novel together, which was sort of the staging up, which was sick in fairness. And we had this like amazing sort of stared bookcase classroomy vibe going on stage. But like, Some of the transitions, I've been thinking about this more and more, some of the transitions are just so hilarious, because you'd see a character just sort of walk off behind these steps and then come back on stage and then immediately sit down and open a book. Yeah. And then just sit there until the next scene. It was wonderful. Yeah. But bearing in mind, so I was playing a very sweet character called Virgil Roseborough, who, bless him, is just sort of the naive element of the show. I think there's a lot of...
He's the comic relief, isn't he?
Yeah, essentially. I think you have to see him as the comic relief, considering his song is titled I Like Trains. Right, essentially, there's a big dramatic moment where you find out that Virgil's had a really bad car accident, and now he is in a wheelchair, essentially, in Act Two. Really horrible.
But he wasn't in a wheelchair before.
No. So you meet him, and he's this happy-go-lucky guy who's spent all of his money, and he's bought a whole pile of pinball machines, and he's going to make his fortune selling these pinball machines. And Duddy takes him under his wing in a sort of almost sly way, being like, I can make some money out of this man. So he's got epilepsy, which you find out later on, and then he has an epileptic fit when he's driving at nighttime, which he shouldn't have been doing, and he gets hit by another truck, and it's all shocking, horrible. So there I was, delivering probably my most dramatic moment in the entire show, spotlight on, sat in a wheelchair, to clarify, in a wheelchair, little blanket over my knees, you know, the whole works. And the line was, what you did is not okay, but it's okay. And then I meant to like slowly wheel around. And the only exit we had on stage, because obviously I said we were on stage the entire time, were two sliding bookcases. Okay. And so this was opening night. Tech was all fine. Rehearsals were all fine. I turn around on the wheelchair. I wheel myself through. And the two people in charge of closing the bookcase couldn't tell if I was off stage or on stage or not. So it was meant to be like a nice little resolve. The end of the button, you close the bookcase. And there I was, sat in the wheelchair, and I got to the bookcase, realized there was a huge desk that had been left right behind the exit. So me and my actor brain going, the entire audience is sat directly behind me. I can see everything that I do right now, and I can't break character by getting up out of this wheelchair because it would look ridiculous. So I sit in the wheelchair in the gap and sort of wheel myself directly into the table and go, I literally can't move any further. But the cue has already happened. So the sliding bookcases very slowly start to close, and then they clunk a bit, and then they open a little bit more, and then they clunk a little bit again. And then they open a little bit more. And honestly, in my brain, I was sat on this wheelchair going, they're closing the bookshelves on top of me right now. And the entire audience can see it. And I can hear, like, it's not a big theater. I can hear the chuckles of the audience seeing what's happening. But the people had no idea who were operating the bookshelves because they couldn't see behind it. So I think eventually what happened is that I flung myself onto the table, still in character, pretending that my legs didn't work.
No.
And then I dragged the wheelchair back while the bookshelves were still being closed repeatedly onto this now empty wheelchair. And I was just sat there absolutely, like, I'm sure it wasn't a long time, but in your brain, when you're sat in the wheelchair and someone's closing a door on top of you over and over again on stage, you're going, this is the worst moment of my life.
So just to clarify, from the audience perspective, you were sitting in between two bookcases in a wheelchair, and two of the other cast members were just literally ramming
books into me in a
repeatedly
wheelchair.
Repeatedly, over and over, while you were delivering this.
While a really, really, really dramatic scene was happening just behind me. Obviously, the sensible choice would have been to just stand up and fold the wheelchair and walk. Did that go through my brain even once? No.
Well, no, absolutely, because I suppose you're just like I am playing someone who cannot walk.
Yeah, you can't.
I've been playing someone who cannot walk.
But my favorite bit, as I said, because we were on stage the whole time, what happens immediately after this absolute carnage happens?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
I walk back around the side of the steps and I sit down on stage.
Oh no. Of course.
Well, thank you, Matt.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thanks for having me.
Really good chat.
And hopefully at some stage, we'll be able to do this in like real life.
In real life. Can you imagine? Wow. Remember those days?
No, not really anymore. If
not
I'm
really, neither do I.
I literally don't know.
All I remember is Zoom. Mate, that's it.
Thank you, mate.
Yeah, you too, mate.
Thank you.
No problem. Talk to you soon.
See you later.
Pleasure.
Bye. That such a funny, I remember that moment. I remember because I was obviously, we were all on stage. I remember watching it just being like, what do we do? Also, just bless like the people at the side closing the bookshelf. Surely, I don't know, I know who they are. I'm not going to name and shame them, but surely they were like, something's in between. Maybe we should stop doing this. Ah, yeah. Dear. Anyway, that was a lovely stage fright from Matt McConnell, who played Teen Angel on Royal Caribbean's Grease. At the time, the biggest ship in the world, which is pretty amazing, actually. Well, another really good show. I laughed a lot in that. I think I needed Grease. I don't think I could have done a carousel today. You know, I needed a...
Oh, no, I think if I'd done a carousel today, I think I would have... Well, I'm not sure exactly what I would have done.
Been a bit sad. Been a bit sad, yeah.
Now I'm starting to think about carousel. It's
no, turn around. Don't go down there. Come back. Grease is the word.
Yeah.
Do the emails. I always do them. Go on. You do the socials.
Let me do the emails.
Yeah, go on.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so if you want to email us, you can email us at showshowpod@gmail.com. That's where you should email us. And if you want to follow us on Instagram or on Twitter, then please do at show_show_pod. That's how you say it, Tom. Show_show_pod.
Thank you.
If you've got anything to say to us, please do. We love hearing from you guys. We love reading your messages, your emails. So please keep them coming in.
Yeah. I've been Tom.
And I've been Geddy.
And that...
And that...
was Grease.
Was Grease.
Goodbye!
Goodbye!
Read anywhere!